I pursue excellence in everything I do. This is Dr. Herb Albarly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery, here in Campo, California, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. I pursue excellence in everything I do. We all think, oh, we haven't got the ability to do a lot of things. We think that there's many wonderful talents out there that we can't do, and we can't play the piano, we can't sing, we can't dance, and we think we can't run the computers and typewriters and all that good stuff. And just a little bit of love, and we can do any one of those things. Now, do we have to have lessons? Do we have to have training? Well, that's one way of going about it. It's a good way. It's a way that many have used. But what is the way that you go about it? How do you go about your excellence? Do you go about your excellence by saying, I know the divine in me does it. I know that I know that I know. I know everything. No. I don't have to even look at the giggles in your heart and the laughter on your face to recognize that you think that's ludicrous. You think that to say I know that I know that I know doesn't work because you don't do it.
I did it yesterday.
I did it yesterday. One time she did it. And now she's saying that she's a master at it. Two times, no? Three times. Okay. Now, we want to do it all the time. We want to do it under all circumstances. Not just say, wow, I did it one time. I did it two times. I did it three times. That's good, too. Better not do it any time, for sure. But we want to pursue our excellence all the time. And the only way to pursue our excellence is to be persistent and consistent. When we are persistent and consistent, we can accomplish anything. And though we might think we can't, we can. How much do we really want the thing to happen? Many times parents help children put on theater at the school, and they think, oh, what a grand undertaking for these kids. How are they ever going to be able to get through with that play, with all the lines they must know and all the actions they must do and the stagecraft that goes on and all this stuff? How can they ever do it? And the parents are a pain in the neck, you know, because they're looking and they say, boy, you kids sure took on more than you can chew. And the kids say, Mom. And so then they get up there and they put on the show. And when they put on the show, each one gives their very best. If they don't remember a line, they make it up. If they don't remember the song, they put a new one in there. If they put down the wrong set on the stagecraft, they put down the scene from the living room instead of the scene from the park, they look at it and say, well, isn't it nice here in the park? And instantly change their attitude to the park scene. And then if the park scene goes up halfway in the middle of the scene, and they look at it and they say, well, the living room is a nice place to have our thoughts put together, isn't it? You know, they just wing it. They just flow with it. They just show their excellence. Now, I will ask you this question only once, and you must know the answer instantly. Who cares? They care, and that's all that matters. They do their best, and that's all. Is a parent proud of their child even when they flub the dub? Even when they miss a note? Even when they have the worst tuba player in the band? You know, and they sit there, that's my son. Or, likely, that's my daughter. And people say, yeah, it is, isn't it? And when they're on the football field, and the kid gets mowed down by the opposition, and they go on with the game, and they look over there, and here he is still mired in the mud, shoved down by everybody. He gets up, shakes himself off, comes back, and the coach says, boy, you've got a lot of guts. Not much brains, but you got a lot of guts. And so what happens to the kid if he persists? If he stays with the game, even though he's not a winner, even though he's not a normal player, he becomes a good player. Mm-hmm. He has the fortitude to stay with it. And fortitude and persistence is what makes masters out of all of us. The persistence in staying with what we know to be true. Yeah. Life is like the children's theater, you know. This scene goes up at the wrong time and comes down at the wrong time. And so you just look at it and say, oh, we're in the park. Oh, we're in the living room. And go on from there. And make your scene natural. And people out in the audience, they'll say, oh, that was a cool segue, moving from one act part of the show to another. That was really smooth. And those kids, wow, what masters. And it was all they could do. They looked, oh, you got the wrong one, pull the other one up, you know. And that makes a farce out of it. But they just instantly played the scene that took place in the park. And that's lovely. Or they played the scene that took place in the living room. Or the one that took place in the bedroom, you know. And they really took a little acting on that part because they weren't dressed for it, you know. But it's the fun of it. It's the fun of it. And the thing is, if we always pursue excellence in everything we do, we have the most fun. It's only when we pursue ignorance and inability that we don't have any fun. I can't do this. I can't do that. Oh, I wish I could act like you. I wish I had your talent. I wish, you know, and nobody likes that. That's a weeper feeling sorry for yourself. And so if a person says, okay, let's give it the old college try. And they're in kindergarten. Let's give it the old college try. And so they go in there and they do their best. And sometimes you're quite surprised. You're quite surprised that their best is really rather good. Very, very good, in fact, you know. And you're surprised and delighted. And that's what you should be. But see, this is the beauty of always doing everything in excellence. Then you have done your best. Now, I've had a lot of people I've hired in my newspapers to typeset and do other things for me and be a advertising person and reporter. And they all say, well, I don't know much about this or I don't know much about that. I say, hey, I'll fire you now. Let me fire you a little later after you prove to yourself that you do know how to do it, you know. And so they go in out there knowing that I'm behind them and they do a good job and they come back with a story that's rather remarkable, rather nice, you know. And they said, my gosh, I didn't know I had it in me, you know. Well, you know, we never do until we move out on it, give her a try. And when we give it a try, wonderful things happen. But if they were to say, I can't do this, I don't like this job. I had one woman who came to work in my newspaper, and she said she could do everything I wanted done. She could do the darkroom. She could do the printing press. She could do the plates. She could do the collation. She could do everything. The whole newspaper scam that I needed done. And I said, wow, you're a gem. She got there. She did no beans about anything. She wanted me to show her how to do the darkroom. She wanted me to show her how to run the press. She wanted me to show her how to make the plates. She wanted me to show her how to do the half tones for the pictures and stuff like that. I mean, it was really quite something. And so after 3 days, she had cost me a lot of money in materials, you know, wasted materials that just didn't go through. And you know, just reams and reams and reams of paper that was just lost. And so I fired her. And she went to the labor commissioner. And she said to the labor commissioner, you know, da 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 da. And so the labor commissioner called me in. It was, what do they call it, a conference of some sort. And labor negotiations, so on. And so I went in, and the guy says, she tells me this here. And I said, I'm a small newspaper. I only have a small staff, and everyone has to do their job. And I hire people based on the fact that they tell me they can do their job. She came to me, and she said she could do all these things, which she did not know how to do. She wasted materials. And this is what she wasted, so I was prepared for it. I said, there's over $300 worth of wasted materials. And this is back in the 60s. And I said, that is not very nice. And I said, the hardest thing for me was that when she came in and said she could do it, and she was lying, and she just pretended she could. Now, if she pretended she could and gave it her best and made it work, that'd be different. I would go along with her while she struggled. But since she didn't even know how to do it, and then she didn't give it her best, and she wanted her coffee breaks, and she wanted her, you know, time off at 5 o'clock, and this and that and the other thing, which is all fine and dandy, but she didn't get any production done. All she did was waste $300 worth of material in 3 days of work, and she should have been paid X dollars, and I paid her, and I told her, that's it, I can't afford you. And so the commissioner, he turned to me and he says, thank you. And he dismissed me from the room. And as I was closing the door, he says, you are stupid, lady. Don't ever pull this on the commission here again when you do something that bad. I mean, that man gave you every opportunity to do what you said you could do, and you couldn't do it because you didn't know how to do it. You lied to him. Now, I want you to get out of here, and I don't ever want to see you again. And if I ever hear of you again, oh boy, are you going to get it, you know. And I stood outside for half a second and heard it all, you know. It didn't take him long to say it. And so then I was walking down the hall, and I heard her open the door behind me, and then I heard her standing in the hall and, you know, waiting until I got out of the hallway so she didn't have to see me. But, you see, when we don't give our best. I mean, if she had just given her best, if she knew anything, it would have been so wonderful. But she didn't, and she lied. And when you lie, oh my, do you pay a penalty? You pay a penalty. Because if life does give you a chance. Life gives you all the chances in the world to prove yourself. Even to prove that you don't know something by saying, I know that I know that I know. And then you can do it. Well, now, when I had those printing presses, when I bought those things, I didn't know how to run them. And I had my man who was sick once in a while, and I had to go in there and run the press. And I thought, what the heck? I'll learn how. And I did. And I ran everything. Not perfect like he did, but good. And I did all the halftones myself. I did all the plate work myself, all the negative work myself, and did all that, and then ran the press, and Mark was sleeping with his cot underneath the press because he wanted to stay close to me. And the noise didn't bother him at all. But it was wonderful. I realized I could do a lot more things than I realized I could do because I had never been tested. I'd never been put into the opportunity to do it. But it was just wonderful. It just shows that with a little bit of imagination, a little bit of belief in yourself, to be your very best self, to be, what do we say, you're pursuing excellence in everything you do. If you just pursue excellence, you'll find that there's magic in us. There's magic in you. There's magic in me. There's magic that we have never even shown. And when we start showing it, wow, are we going to feel great? Are we going to feel like 10 feet tall? And that's kind of wonderful, isn't it? Yes, I pursue excellence in everything I do. Do you?
Yes.
Good. Okay. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.